Okay, yeah. 7:36 is mm-hmm. Wednesday.
Yes.
And we have our uh-huh. special guest.
There she is. Lori Hopkins Cavanaugh from our sister station out in the east end of the state. Lori, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
You ready to pay your you ready to pay your tolls?
I'll tell you.
That's coming.
Well, I don't even know what the end results are going to be. So I'm not sure if you guys have figured it out yet.
Oh, it's over.
It's over.
It's over. No, it's over.
Now, we thought, and we were waiting till the last minute, and still it hasn't been decided. But, of course, we thought it was going to be you-know-who mm-hmm. To be our governor, and if they made some changes in the House and the Senate, mm-hmm. that he would be able to put it all together. Mm-hmm. But that is so close, you can't really even call it yet.
Yeah, you know, I have a few observations.
Sure.
And I don't know if you'll agree with them or not.
Go ahead. Yeah.
So I'd love to get your opinion, but I see that half of Connecticut's population right now is disenfranchised.
Yeah.
Because we're a one-party state for the most part at this point. That's not a good situation to be in.
No.
You know, it's a divisive, definitely divisive. But I think that what we're seeing is that the cities are determining the fate of the election.
Yeah,
absolutely. You're absolutely
right. Lori. The it has changed over. I've seen the past generation where, you know, a few cycles ago, and you've run, you know this. A few cycles ago, the suburbs were pretty much able to balance things out. You know
absolutely.
What I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But now I see that really fading away.
And I thought. That we were going to get a fella in there, and I thought he was going to win. And he, I'll tell you something, he made a run, but he's in still. They haven't said anything about it, that he hasn't won or anything like that. But I thought they could get him in there, that we could get him in there, and then he could control what has to be controlled. But that's not going to happen.
You know, there were really two people. I really wanted to see Sue Hatfield.
Oh, yes.
William Tong.
She is an eminently qualified, Lori. And again,
amazing woman.
How did William Tong run and win? Trump, 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 Trump. That's all you saw in his ads.
Well, William Tong, you know, he's one of the communist leaders in our state. And I've sat in his Judiciary Committee hearings mm-hmm. and listened to him, and I know Looney and Duff and the whole, you know, communist core of Connecticut that is leading our state into demise, mm-hmm. and we're at the bottom. And, you know, if Stefanowski doesn't win, it will have major implications
sure.
in Connecticut in the next few years. People will leave. I'm a real estate broker. The good news is, though, if we want to look at a silver lining here, I think that the Republicans who were conservative, they all won.
Yeah.
Rob Sampson.
Yeah.
He did very well. Doug Dubitsky won. Ann Dauphiné won.
Yeah.
These are the conservative core in Connecticut that voted against, for example, the transgender inequity law that they passed. But if you look at the Republicans, for example, in the 33rd House District, Zia Braun is 50-50 with Needleman. Cheeseman is 50-50 with McKinney.
Mm-hmm.
Those two people are basically Republican in name only.
Mm-hmm.
They're very, very liberal. If you can call them Republicans, they're extraordinarily liberal people. And they're holding on. They don't even know if they're still going to be seated. So if you look at Cheeseman and Zia Braun as a bellwether for conservatism in this state, you can see that it doesn't pay for Republicans to be wishy-washy, indecisive, liberal progressives. They're going to lose their seats to a Democrat no matter what.
Yeah, and Lori, listen, it's
what do you think?
Well, you know, Lori, it's again, you know, and Brad, I think you'll agree with me. You know, we I hear that argument all the time, and to a point, I think you're right. But I think, you know, It's frustrating because you constantly get this drumbeat of, well, a Republican in Connecticut has to be different than, say, a Republican in, you know, South Carolina,
right,
or in Mississippi, mm-hmm, or something. Brad, I don't know. I mean, should we just scrap the whole New England Republican thing and just do what they want? You know,
you could. Number one, as far as a Republican is concerned, okay. A Republican should be able, and maybe you won't agree with me on this, a Republican should be able, if they want to get some stuff passed,
yeah,
okay, to sit down and to talk, and if there's something that a Democrat has that is not way out there but is a good idea, he can accept that, and he can talk to that person and get him and his friends to accept it, and that's how we're going to get stuff done. If we're going to just say, you know, it's not going to happen, what do we got them in there for then? That's how I feel.
You know,
I feel very, very strongly about that.
Well, the Republicans, I think, in Connecticut, who have gone and taken the party to the extreme left and have voted for example, Heather Bond Summers, she's a Republican, from Groton and North Stonington area.
You don't think she's doing a good job?
Well, she voted for the most radically less progressive legislation that any person. She voted with Malloy to get rid of the Electoral College, which would have meant we would have had Hillary Clinton as president. This is the problem in Connecticut.
But we shouldn't get rid of the Electoral College. That is part of our lives.
Yes, you're right. But we've lost our way as Republicans in this state, and they never will go. I was an inner city candidate. I grew up in New London.
Yeah.
I live in Norwich now. I've never lived outside of the inner city. And what I can tell you is that there isn't a single Republican voice that is reaching out into the black churches, into the Hispanic cultural centers, and trying to beat this horrific communist wave that's going through this state. And if they don't try, they'll never know. But I'll tell you what, there are so many conservative Puerto Ricans, there are so many conservative blacks, that they want to hear the message.
Yep.
But we're not reaching out to them. I know that for a fact, and it's sad. It's kind of distressful because as a conservative, I don't look at skin color. I don't care what your nationality is. It's the values and morals that I stand for that I share with people across, you know, skin colors, nationalities, whatever. But unless Republicans can articulate that, they will continue to lose in Connecticut.
Okay, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Next week, now, listen carefully. Come up with a plan, and the two of us will do the same thing that the three of us can discuss and use that as an example of what we should believe in the state of Connecticut. Will you do that?
Sure. Okay. I would put property rights at the top of that list.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Lori. Appreciate it.
Have a great day.
You too. Thanks, Lori. Bye bye.
Let's do this.
She does have a point in that the Republican Party in this state makes very little of an effort, Brad, in the inner cities. They just don't do it. And yet you see nationally where you have a guy like John James in Michigan, a black Republican who almost won a Senate seat.
I know.
You know, Lori is right in the fact that there are a lot of black and Hispanic families and voters who are very conservative. They're not a monolithic base. You know, 30 to 35% of Hispanics vote Republican. Donald Trump has black male support of 20 to 30%. Yes. But anyway.